the ideas, the leaders, the lives that are shaping Denmark and the world. From Blocks Hub in Copenhagen, Denmark, with your co-hosts, Ed Lay and Thomas Mulhern, this is Global Denmark.
Hello, and welcome back to the Global Denmark podcast, where we explore how thought leaders and innovators are working to create a better Denmark and a better world. But we have a bit of a unique podcast today in that we interviewed multiple guests, all representing the MIT community's MISTI project. First, we had a talk with Sydney Johanna Stounds, who is the program director for the MISTI project in Denmark. We talked with Sydney about why they chose Denmark to be a part of this project, her own personal narrative and why she chose to do this job, and the program goals, both from the Danish and the MIT perspective. We then had the pleasure of sitting down with three MIT students, all of whom are currently in internships at a Danish company in Copenhagen. Our conversation focused on why they chose Denmark in the first place, key observations they've had with regards to the Danish culture and their time here, and what would it take for them to start a life and a career up here in Denmark. Without further ado, we bring you MIT in Denmark.
So I am speaking via Skype to Sydney Johanna Stounds. Sydney, well, I guess good morning where you are over in Seattle. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Thomas. I'm doing great. How about you?
Excellent. I hope you got your morning coffee. I guess it's 6:30, 6:45 in the morning there.
Yes, 9 hours time difference.
Well, thank you so much for taking the call. I want to dive right in. The MISTI project. Perhaps you can tell our audience what this project is and potentially how it came about to MIT.
Definitely. So I'll start with what MISTI stands for. So MISTI stands for MIT's International Science and Technology Initiatives. And it's a department at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that has about 25 different country programs, of which Denmark is the newest. And our goal at MIT is to create these international collaborations and bridge the MIT communities with countries across the world. And so Denmark came about rather organically, actually, in the sense that for the last 5 or so years, hygge has become a popularized cultural phenomenon in the US. You know, people are wondering what hygge is. They want it in their life. And so Denmark's been put on the map for things like hygge, work-life balance, but also more relevant to MIT, some of its strong industries like life science and engineering and IT. And so that's sort of where, you know, MIT had an eye out for a Denmark collaboration for a while. And then Dansk Industri, or the Confederation of Danish Industry, did a study trip to MIT last January and heard about the MISTI program and thought, you know, this would be a great way to start a relationship with MIT in this way, in a more student engaging way.
Are we talking both bachelor and master's levels?
It's bachelor and master and PhD level. And mostly right now, the Denmark program focuses on student engagement, but we really do hope that as it grows, there's also more faculty to faculty engagement as well.
So Denmark was chosen for a variety of criteria. Both there was a wish from your side, but also from the Danish side to engage in this relationship. Why do you think Denmark chose MIT? Obviously, you have an outstanding reputation. Was there anything specifically that went about in the dialogue?
Yeah, I think one of the sort of unique characteristics with MIT and with the Boston area is that a lot of MIT strengths are also Denmark's strengths. So as I mentioned, engineering, IT, life science, a lot of the culture of innovation and entrepreneurship was something that MIT saw in Denmark. And I think it was also something Denmark and Dansk Industri saw in MIT.
And when did this project in Denmark officially kick off?
So it officially kicked off at the beginning of last school year, so in September 2018. And then the first batch of students that came to Denmark are currently here this summer in Denmark and will be heading back to school soon.
Okay. And the goal is then what?
So there are several different goals. From MIT side, this is a great opportunity for students to come abroad and really apply their academic training. It's also an opportunity for them to build a professional network and new relationships with people and companies in other countries. From MIT side, it's also a very informal way, but a way to get a sense of what else is going on in the world, and having these students exposed to this and bringing this experience back to MIT's labs and classrooms is very valuable for MIT. From Danske Industri side, and from a lot of the companies and universities we work with, this is an opportunity for them to show students what Denmark's like, what kind of possibilities there are. And so we hope, you know, from the Denmark program that the students have a great opportunity with these companies that they're working with, and they come back to MIT as ambassadors for Denmark.
Excellent. So there's both the hope of being ambassadors, but also the potential of what it could look like to start a career, a life in Denmark if some of the MIT students did choose a life abroad.
Exactly. Although we don't anticipate that there will be that necessarily in all cases, that direct flow. You know, we don't think that a student will necessarily intern in Denmark and then will come back for their career for the rest of their life. That would be the ideal scenario, but it's a broader ambition in the sense that we hope that these students have a really positive experience with Denmark and share that with others. And maybe they have a friend that remembers they heard great things about Denmark and decides to take an opportunity there in the future.
Excellent. So, Sydney, are you based then over in Boston or Cambridge or in Copenhagen?
So I'm based out of MIT at Cambridge. And of course, that's to help students. But another part of my role is also to help Danish companies, Danish universities engage in a more effective way at MIT in the Boston area. And so I also have a lot of companies visit, and I'll be able to show them around MIT and explain sort of the ethos of the institute and where we're coming from. But I do spend a fair amount of time in Copenhagen and Denmark, especially when the students are there, to ensure that everything is going well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And Sydney, may I ask, how did you get involved with the Danish MISTI project? Was it random? Did you have a love of hygge?
That's a great question. I think if you ask my mom, she'd probably say that I'm the perfect embodiment of the larger goal of this program. So I grew up in the United States with a Danish mother. Okay. And so grew up loving Denmark, speaking Danish, and really wanting to share that with other people. And so I was in the fortunate, you know, lucky time and place when this program was getting started to be able to be a part of it and build it together. And so I've really found that joy in the job of, you know, sharing my love for a country that I think is great and has a lot to share with the world.
I think that's outstanding, Sydney. And, you know, I work and I'm friends with a lot of repatriates, Danske repats, both that live abroad and come back to Denmark. And I think really someone like you sit in a really unique position to be that ambassador. I think that's really terrific, the work you're doing, and to be that bridge.
It's something I hope that the students of MIT who participate in the program, they also get that experience and that sense that they have the opportunity to share that experience as well.
Absolutely. Sydney, I don't want to take too much of your time, and we are now going to pivot to an interview with three students in the MISTI project here in Denmark. But Sydney Johannes Downs, I just want to say thank you for the great work you're doing. Hope you keep it up for a long time.
Thanks. It was a pleasure chatting.
And now we're going to move on to an interview with three students from the MISTI project of MIT.
And we are back, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Thomas Mulhern. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Lovely day. Glad to be here with you guys.
And we are here with three students from MIT over here on work placements. How about, because there's three of you just work through, tell us your name, a little bit about yourself, and what you're doing here.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Mickey. We're all working at 3Shape, and I am studying mechanical engineering, going into my third year, and I have a concentration in product design. So what I'm working on at 3Shape is pretty interesting and works towards what I want to learn more about.
Hi, I'm Mahira. I'm also studying mechanical engineering at MIT, and I'm entering my second year. I'm also pursuing a minor in computer science. And I'm really interested in kind of the intersection of both studies, mechatronics specifically. And I'm also from New Jersey, like Mickey and Malik. The work I'm doing at 3Shape is really innovative and really fun. I'm excited to be in Denmark working here, having experiences.
Great, welcome.
Cool. Hi, I'm Malik. I'm also studying mechanical engineering like the other two. Just like Mahira, I'm studying more of mechatronics, so it's the intersection of computer science, electrical engineering, and also mechanical engineering. I just finished my bachelor's degree about a month ago, and I decided to do an internship in Denmark to get some more experience before going into the actual engineering field. Just like these two, I also went to high school in New Jersey, but I've moved around quite a bit, so I'm currently living in Hawaii. And I'm excited to talk about our experiences.
Excellent. Well, welcome to you three. And I know you're here today because of the MISTI project. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that project and kind of the cooperation between MIT and Denmark.
Yeah, so the MISTI program, it's actually a program that involves multiple country programs. MISTI Denmark is the newest one, actually. I think it started with MISTI Japan. And so it's a bunch of different countries. I think there may be like more than like 30 countries involved. And so basically there's a coordinator for each country. And so for us, she ended up interfacing with a bunch of potential hosts. And then she matched students who applied to the program with the different hosts and companies. And so these are mostly internship programs. So most people are interning at companies, but then there are also people doing research at universities. And it's nice because it's like a net neutral cost to the student, or that's how it's modeled to be. So basically that means that they give a stipend for housing, food, transportation, like miscellaneous.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we get this nice international experience without thinking too much about breaking the bank. With the Denmark program, since it is new, we think that they underbudgeted a little bit, given how expensive it is to live in Copenhagen.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think we've all really appreciated the opportunity to come here.
I think, one of the main goals of the MISTI program is really for students to go to other countries and experience different cultures and learn about different perspectives, different processes, and kind of reflect on those and use that in whatever they end up doing work-wise and in their lives to, you know, make the world a better place.
And did you choose Denmark or did you choose a job or?
So you can apply to, I think, up to two countries.
Okay.
Me personally, Denmark was my first choice. I don't know if you guys...
They all say that.
Yeah, I applied to two, but ended up liking the company that I was placed with here better. So like some people go in with actually a company in mind, but generally people just apply to the country first and then they find if there's some match.
So country first and then company is the typical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just to piggyback a little bit more off of that, so this is my fifth time doing a MISTI program. I've done twice in Italy, once in Germany, once in... Actually, sorry, this is my fourth time. there was those two, Germany, and then now I'm here. And as a new program, it's a bit less organized, but it was a lot bigger in terms of the amount of students coming. So you have us three here, and you also have close to about 15 students all around Copenhagen and other parts of Denmark. So it was really exciting to see all these new faces coming out to Denmark together.
And did you guys all travel together and arrive? Is there a network that...
It's pretty flexible, like it's case by case. We all took different flights here.
Yeah.
And I mean, his program started a little later than ours.
Okay.
Mostly because of graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So graduation was about a month after the regular finals and things.
Sure.
And then I spent some time traveling and then ended up joining with these guys. So I'll be here about a month later than everyone else.
Excellent.
So you all chose Denmark out of 30 possible countries. Why?
There are multiple reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. People have different reasons.
One of the big
factors, I think, is the language requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Since
right.
everyone speaks English here, there's no language requirement. Other countries, you need like 4 years or like 4 semesters worth of language. So that was one thing. For me, I'm also half Danish. My dad grew up in Staten Island, so he does, like culturally, I'm not that Danish, but by blood, I am.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of an interesting point. Like, he's studied here before for a semester.
Okay.
And so he really loved it here. He was just like, you should go. You should see how it is. See how the Danes live. So that was kind of a factor for me. And also just, like, the publicity around Denmark is that it's a very happy country, very good work-life balance. So that was a main factor for me, too.
Excellent.
I think another thing, like, for me, being coming off my first year, like, I don't have much experience in the actual mechanical engineering field yet. And I heard about the flat hierarchy that Danish companies have. And as someone who's less experienced, I thought, this might be really interesting as someone who's, like, probably on the, like, lesser experienced side of, like, the workplace to enter this kind of field and see how I would grow, how I would learn from other people in this kind of, like, flat hierarchy, bouncing off ideas kind of environment, which is definitely what I found at 3Shape.
I'd say my experience was a bit different. I hadn't heard much about Copenhagen before. I actually couldn't even have pointed it out on a map until about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So my roommate a couple months ago, he was half Danish and he did some work in Copenhagen as well. So he was the one that kind of brought up that there's a new MIT MISTI program in Denmark.
Okay.
And he really pushed me to go and try to, you know, see if I would enjoy it. So it was kind of an afterthought when I was applying. I was like, maybe I'll like it.
Yeah.
And as I started going to the training sessions, meeting some of the other students, hearing about all the opportunities and the happiness and the, you know, the summer culture here, I really was excited to come here.
What would you say is the, if you're going to make a generalization about your fellow MIT students, the awareness of Denmark or Copenhagen amongst the student population?
I think it's pretty limited.
I mean,
I have some people who didn't know that the language is Danish. Like, they thought, go learn that Dutch.
Dutch,
yeah. Is there some Danish German or Danish Dutch they have to, like, learn?
There's also, like, MIT has a good number of international students, but no one from Denmark. I don't think I've ever met anyone from Denmark.
Okay.
I meet a couple of half Danes here and there, but. I don't think I know a single.
And I think it has to do with the fact I've talked to some Danes, and they were saying that most Danish students tend to stay in Denmark for university.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe that.
It's free.
It's free.
At MIT, where would you say the majority of international students, are there certain countries that are heavily represented?
Yeah, probably China.
India
is a big one.
I know a couple of Nigerian students, actually, too.
Any of the Nordics or European countries?
UK is usually one that stands out a lot.
I've met like Italians. A
couple of Italians as well.
Definitely.
I think I met like two or three Germans. So the undergrad program has, I think, about 10% international students.
Okay.
Whereas the grad program is closer to 40 or 50.
Okay.
So if you're doing some research with grad students, that's where you actually find
a
lot more.
Significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I can hear in terms of attraction factors of being part of the MISTI Denmark, there was the flat hierarchy and having access to the entire organization.
Yeah.
There was the ability to speak English and get away with that, just exclusively English, and also some kind of connections to either heritage or a friend that had some sort of connection, drawing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you heard about, okay, when you started to get interest, okay, maybe Denmark, I'm going to apply for this MISTI program. When you heard it was one of the happiest countries, or this concept of hygge, I don't know if you heard of that. Did you do some research on it? What was your research into Denmark prior to departure? And was there kind of a crash course in Danish culture, or what you're going to expect in Danish work culture?
Yeah, so I actually heard about it being one of the happiest countries from listening to a podcast. I think I was listening to Radiolab.
Okay.
Sure wasn't this one.
So yeah, that was like something that like educated me about Denmark in general. But for the program, Sydney actually, who's the program coordinator, she hosts some sessions where we learn a little bit about culture, but it didn't give us like an entire view. She told us about like the flat hierarchy, the concept of hygge.
The law of
Yandelaw.
She told us a bit about that, which I think was really useful coming here, because I've noticed it's very much ingrained in the culture of how people interact, especially at first, like first impressions.
Yeah, well, maybe you could say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so from what I remember of the law, it's basically along the lines of like, you're not special, you're not, you know, basically be humble, don't brag, kind of put your peers and your friends forward. And I found that when I first got here, I moved into a collegium with about 24 Danish students. Every day they were hanging out in the kitchen together, cooking food, just listening to music and things. And walking in the first day, you know, like saying hello, speaking with them, I felt like very much like an outsider. You know, a lot of them were speaking Danish with each other. They didn't ask many questions. You know, they weren't too worried about where I was working and things.
Yeah.
But after a couple of days of speaking with them, I just realized it's just a different culture. That's how how they work.
Yeah.
I quickly became adapted to it, and I felt like I became really good friends with all of them over the month.
Yeah.
But that first day or so, it just felt like there was a wall.
Yeah, but they weren't being rude. It was just a cultural difference.
They're not overly polite like I feel like many Americans are.
Yeah. Any similar experiences for you guys?
Yeah, I feel like when you're first trying to talk to a Dane, like, I mean, it's like from the outside, they seem kind of like ice cold. But then once you like break through the surface, a lot. Yeah, because I guess they just don't want to talk about themselves, you know? So,
And that's how most interactions, when you're meeting someone new, that's how they like start, at least like in the U.S.
You talk about yourself
to get to, to like express yourself to someone new. But here, since that's not a thing, it takes a little bit more time, I think, for to establish that connection. But once Danes open up, like, they're as friendly as can be. So.
Okay. So you had these expectations you had of what kind of Danish culture and work culture was like. When you arrived, what were some first impressions that stuck with you?
Honestly, how organized the public transportation system is, like, that was super helpful. Like, getting off the plane, it was, like, super easy to figure out where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. So, yeah, I think, like, everything's super efficient in terms of, like, getting to where you want to go. And having that, it makes the entire city, I haven't really been outside of Copenhagen much, so all of Copenhagen at least, super accessible to everyone here, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, just looking around, I feel like everyone is so stylish here. Like, the standard of living is like higher, I'm assuming, so. And then also, just like, everyone has such a cool vibe to them. I don't know, it's just, that was my first
It's not just Red Sox hoodies.
Like, women are wearing, like, nice flowy dresses with, like, comfortable sneakers.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like effortlessly chic. That's the kind of vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess going back to the happiest place in the world, when I first got here, again, like, looking around, I thought, like, people they're not very talkative and loud like I'd expect in the U.S., which is usually my measure of happiness. But then I immediately passed by Islandsbrygge, where you have tons of young people just listening to music, jumping in the water, like drinking with their friends. And that's when I realized, okay, like all around the city, you can find places like this where young people are just able to express themselves and have fun without worries.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the happiness is related to the things that everybody is afforded, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the nice stuff, like, we pay a lot of tax here, but you can immediately see where it goes, right? You can go, oh well, they're cleaning that water, and I can go and use that water. And you know, there's you don't have to spend money to have a great time here. Right, that's certainly something that I noticed.
In terms of starting into a Danish company, what were your, so you mentioned Mihira,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
That you were looking for a flat hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you experienced that?
This is actually my first internship. So I was really nervous about, like, not knowing anything. Like, people are going to get, like, what if they get frustrated about, like, how little I know? But that hasn't been my experience at all. I think the environment where I'm working, at least, it's super easy to just ask questions, and you don't need to, like, think about, what if I ask this? You just ask what you want to ask, have a conversation about your ideas, discuss other people's ideas. And it's kind of like, even though the project I'm working on is my project, I'm able to kind of combine and learn from other people's experiences and ideas super easily. And I think that's due to how easy it is to talk to other people in the flat hierarchy.
And have you been able to compare and contrast that to how it might work in the US?
Actually, no, because I haven't really worked at like a desk job, like official company in the US. I mean, I've worked as a waitress, but
sure.
Like that's a different thing.
Yeah, I could speak to it a little bit because I did an internship last year in Cambridge, Boston. And coming here, I did notice that there is a difference. There's a lot less bureaucracy, it seems like. I mean, there are like the different titles, but they're very much like everyone's just on the same playing field, it seems like. It's, you can reach out to anyone just on Slack, and it's, there's no like formality needed, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's like the main difference.
Yeah.
And do you find that is more productive?
I think so. Like, it was just so easy for me to like sit in on meetings and like chime in once in a while. Like, I would feel like back in the States when I had my job previously, like I would feel kind of like I'm overstepping my boundaries if I were to like go to meetings and try to like say things. But here it's very much like I'm at the table and like speaking with the other engineers and stuff. So.
We hear a lot that one of the attracting factors of coming to Denmark is work-life balance. And that's that's reflected in a 37.5-hour work week. How do you experience that in the company you're at? Do you feel like, oh, wow, they're not working that many hours as maybe they would in the States, or there seems to be more balance, or is that untrue?
No, I'd say it's completely true. Not just the amount of hours you spend at work, but even while at work, I feel like it's very open to being collaborative and being able to just, you know, leave your desk, go around, speak with other people. They take a nice break for lunch. You know, having lunch provided is really nice because then people get to just unwind and relax and chat. Whereas in the U.S., you would likely grab your lunch from McDonald's, go back to your desk, chow it down while you're trying to finish up your deadline. And then even what was really amazing is last week when the weather was really nice during lunch, people would put on their bathing suits, go hop in the canal, and then come back in and just work like it was normal.
Yeah.
So it definitely feels like there's a really nice balance. They really put a lot of
emphasis.
Yeah, that's the word. Emphasis on the work-life balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like even the swimming thing. They're at 3Shape, at least, there's an official like lunchtime swim club that you can join.
Is that summer. Right?
Yeah, and they all just go together to the harbor and swim, and it's just like a regular part of the day.
And how has that felt to you, watching the work-life balance in action? Has it been like, where's everybody going, or have you just been able to effortlessly slip into it?
I mean, I think we all really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, peers that are working at companies in the U.S., and they're working, like, 12-hour days. Because, I guess, like, deadlines, right? Mm-hmm. But then also, like, I don't know, here it's just such a different attitude where they're like, oh, I'm just going to stay till 4:30, like I'll get as much done as possible.
Yeah.
And they seem to be like even more productive than like
companies, a 12-hour day.
Yeah, in the US, because they kind of set themselves to like, oh, like I'm going to go home at 4:30, like I'm going to get this stuff done.
We hear a lot about millennials or Gen Z and what they want. In terms of a career or life, and we hear time and time again this more of this emphasis on purpose, that both from an individual standpoint that they can make a difference. Is that something that resonates with you, and how would you see a working in Denmark in terms of your generation and fulfilling those needs? Because we hear, you know, that the new generation, they want more agility, they want more purpose. What can the company provide them? I guess, first of all, what are you guys looking for in a career?
I guess it's still pretty open for me.
Yeah.
With mechanical engineering, there's a lot of different routes you can take. But I know, for one, like, I do very much prioritize, like, company culture, I guess, when I'm choosing a company. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're spending you're spending like 8 hours with the people around you. And so like, you, like I feel like it's great if you can get to know the people around you instead of just like your like work colleagues, like actually like creating connections. And then I guess another thing is just knowing that I am making an impact on the company. Like, I don't want to do work for the sake of doing work and getting money. Like, I want to do work for the sake of contributing to this larger, like, movement in the company, like, larger purpose. Because I feel like all of the organizations that I've been a part of, like, through high school and college, like, things are about, like, the larger purpose. And I feel like it's very important to feel like you're not just, like, one little cog in the machine, like, you're actually... like moving things towards something.
I think there's very little like fluff work at Danish companies. Like when you're working at a Danish company, no matter what your position is, what you're assigned to do or whatever you're working on, people expect that to have an impact on the company. There's no like busy work or you're just here, oh, you're just here for like this, this program will give you some like side job. No, it's like what you're doing is meant to have a purpose. And yeah, I think that's something really awesome you can find in Denmark.
I think similarly, what a lot of us are looking for is just enough freedom to explore things on our own, but not too much freedom to where you don't feel like you're actually contributing, like these two have mentioned. So I feel like 3Shape has given us a great work environment where, you know, you have times where you check in with your supervisor and you show them what you've been doing. But other than that, you know, you come into work, no one's really watching over your work. You kind of have all the tools and things you need. You have all the people who are open to help you, and you just go about your day creating your own deadlines for that day and working toward your own goals.
And what is the goal of 3Shape, and what are you each working on individually?
So they want to like revolutionize dentistry. So like the company 3Shape, they work on 3D scanning of teeth. So that helps with, for example, like implants, or instead of having to make an impression mold, you can just take a 3D scan. So that's really helpful for orthodontics. So I'm personally working on one of the next generation scanners. So it's a handheld scanner. And then I'm working on like form factor studies and also optics studies on the front tip, which is the thing that's on the front of the scanner. So it's very much like... about like product development and research. So I found it pretty interesting so far because it involves what I've learned in classes and also more with like learning, you know, how should this thing be manufactured and assembled. So it's given me a pretty like broad perspective on the product development process in general.
We hear that Danes are very direct.
Oh.
Have you experienced this in terms of sitting in on meetings or negotiations or seeing how ideas are brought up and discussed?
Yeah, for sure. In one of my first meetings, actually, we were talking about ideas for what I'm working on, and as ideas were thrown out, immediately people were pointing out things that wouldn't work. It's not like they would, you know, oh yeah, maybe no. Like they would point out things that might be wrong immediately, and I think that's maybe to some people very it might seem like.
Dismissive
or hurtful, but it's they don't mean anything. It's not personal. It's just to make the entire process more efficient and to when you can like deter remove away the not so good ideas, you can speed up the process of getting to a good one. So I think it's a good way of going about things.
Yeah, I feel like people are like surprisingly opinionated here. Like if they have an opinion, they will share it. Which I think is pretty useful. Like, if something isn't going to work, they're going to be like, yeah, we shouldn't do this. Like, it won't work.
It's efficient if you don't take offense from it, right?
Yeah.
That's encouraged from the Danish educational system from a very early age, that type of critical thinking and being challenging.
My daughter, when we arrived here, she was 6, and we put her into... half Danish education system, and to see her go in and be told in maths you're not going to solve a problem, you're going to finish this equation, and in England it's learn this story, reproduce this story, and in Denmark it's here's half of the story, finish it, and she was like she couldn't do that because she was taught rules and systems in the UK, and then coming over here, it was, you know, be creative and solve problems. And I feel like it's a much better way of educating than just remember all of this stuff, which is it's not prizing the individual at all, right?
Yeah. Now, have you experienced any frustrations or barriers? You mentioned, Malik, a little bit about in the dormitory, just trying to, you know, make friends at first, but then it seems like you adapted your approach. But was there any other kind of general frustrations or barriers where you think this could be done, this could be better?
Well, I think for me, the main thing that I notice is that on my floor, I'm one of three women, and there's just like 30 people on the floor.
Oh, wow.
So that's something that I noticed.
Why is that such a big gender discrepancy?
I think engineering isn't like women aren't super represented in the field of engineering here, at least.
Okay.
And it's not, I don't know, from what I understand, it seems like the company doesn't like try to really like recruit women engineers. It's like not like a big push. Like it's a big priority, like at MIT, where we have 50-50.
Mandated, or that's just how it worked out?
That's just,
they really try.
I mean, that's
to do
what
that.
They work towards.
Yes.
Okay.
Like that's what they try to do, right?
Yeah.
But here it seems like it's not that much a priority.
Yeah.
If anything, I feel like, I mean, it's probably based off of like the applicant pool, but then also it's just like they want to get the job done, so they're looking just for the right candidate.
Well, there's the cognitive bias that people tend to hire people that remind them most of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So men tend to hire men.
Yeah.
That's just an unconscious bias.
Also on a similar note, you know, living with and meeting so many students, I don't think I've met any female engineering students. So I think it's you can trace this problem back not just at the company level, but also at the education level. And I would think that less female students are studying engineering in Denmark in general.
But I don't see that necessarily as a barrier as much as just like a weird thing that I've noticed. Because I mean, it's not like they treat me any differently. Like I feel like in jobs past, like I've kind of noticed like when like men would kind of treat me differently than like their other male colleagues, but here it's very much just similar.
I remember we interviewed Katja Iverson, who talks a lot, who's campaigning for equal rights, and I think that Scandinavia is so used to leading the way that they don't have a focus on equality because they take the equality for granted.
Yeah,
so now other countries actually having an initiative to work on it, the statistics start to show that they're falling behind.
What about is communication? Has that lived up to expectation? Just English all the time? Has there been any times where it could have been beneficial to also know Danish?
I feel like sometimes, at least on my floor, people like will banter or like make jokes, and they'll be speaking Danish. So it would be nice to, you know, like, get in on the joke once in a while.
Yeah.
But professionally or like with work things, not at all. It's super easy. Mostly everyone speaks English, at least to me. So it's not a problem at all.
They speak English very well here.
Yeah.
I've traveled to a lot of European countries, and besides the UK, I would say Denmark speaks the best English.
Mm.
So it's been pretty easy to
get around
to communicate and things.
Yeah.
I'm sad though because it's decreased the push for me to try and learn Danish because it's just so easy to go around speaking English all the time.
It's actually hard to speak Danish. If you go into a coffee shop and try and practice your Danish, they're like, do I speak to this 4-year-old version of this person? Or do I get this done and say, sorry, I can hear that
you
speak English.
So what drove you to want to be part of an international exchange in general? Why not just stay in the States?
I mean, I've basically been in New Jersey my entire life, and the MISTI program like was something that I had learned about even before I got into MIT. So I knew like, if I get in here, like I'm definitely going to do this like one of the summers. Like it's a great opportunity to see the world, learn new things, like meet new people, and it's pay, it's like paid for. Like, when else is anyone going to pay you to go to another country?
Yeah.
The military, I suppose.
Different expectations,
I guess. Yeah, my background is, my dad is in the U.S. military, and as such, you get moved around from place to place every 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
So I had moved all around the U.S. and met so many different cultures and personalities within the U.S. But something I noticed is that a lot of people in the U.S. tend to stay there, especially in our parents' generation, I would say. Maybe not our parents so much, because we're pretty diverse, but... yeah, a lot of people just are so comfortable with staying in the U.S., never getting a passport, never traveling. So when I got to college, that was the first time I got a passport and tried traveling for once.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Yep. Just now I want to explore the world as much as I can.
Yeah.
So you're working 8-hour days now. What are you doing with the rest of your time?
Drinking Carlsberg.
Drinking Carlsberg. Yeah.
Yeah, can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
this is a grown up podcast.
I mean, we've hung out together.
Yeah.
We go out together. I mean, the usual day for me is I get home, I like either watch a Netflix TV show, or I read a book, and then I cook, and then I usually like hang out with someone or. Yeah.
For me, I'm on the MIT lightweight rowing team.
Okay.
So after work and sometimes before work, I've been like going to row with another rower who's here for the summer. So,
oh, it's just over in Henley in England, where they have the big rowing race each summer.
Yeah. But I actually haven't been to the UK Henley, but I have been to Canadian Henley.
Okay. Yeah.
It's actually going on right now. But yeah, so. We've taken out a boat and just rowed for an hour or two each day, and it's been really fun. So.
And have you met people outside of what you're doing? How have you found socializing in Copenhagen in general?
The boathouse was actually a really good way. I met a lot of the Danish rowers, and the girl I'm rowing with is also half Danish. We've hung out together a couple times too, so I think that was a good way to integrate.
Common interests.
Mm-hmm, common interests, exactly. To integrate into the world of Danes.
I feel like I haven't met too many Danes outside of the context of work, because my dorm, it's like mostly international students.
Okay.
So it's a dorm for Copenhagen University, but I think it's just established as like, oh, a lot of international
hotbed.
Yeah. Yeah, living there. So there's a lot of like Italians, people from Spain, China, India, Finland, Norway. So basically everyone besides the Danes. But I mean, either way, it's like, it's been really nice to just like cook dinner with them, and just like learn about differences between like going to school in the US versus in Italy.
Yeah. Now, Malik, this is your fourth MISTI.
Yep.
If we could say it like that.
Yeah.
What differentiates Copenhagen from the other ones in terms of what makes it better, what makes it worse?
Yeah. So I'd say culturally, again, English has been like such an easy thing to use here. The two times in Italy, I could speak English with them, but it was harder to get across like stories and jokes. It was more just like for communication purpose only. Although the Italians, I would say, were a lot more friendly from face value and outgoing and making sure that, you know, everything was okay with me. And I was staying with a host family when I was doing it as well.
Yeah.
So that was useful. I'd say the work though in Italy was a lot more disorganized.
Okay.
I also did a little bit of work in Germany. That was a little too overbearing, more felt like the US kind of, where it just seemed like everyone was stressed and just, you know, really, just pushing for results.
All perpetuating cultural stereotypes.
But no, when I got to Denmark, I was just surprised again by that balance, you know, being able to do some fulfilling work and really enjoy my work, but also have time to leave work at 4:30, take my bike, go off and do what I want to do and not have to worry about what I'm working on until the next morning.
Yeah. Can you feel how safe it is? here compared to other places?
Yeah. There have been many like nights where we've gone out and it's like gone very late into the night, and yeah, it's really not a worry to just go home no matter like how far. Take a train, take a bus, bike. It's like it just feels the same as when it's daytime.
Yeah,
which I haven't gotten.
Have you seen any babies in strollers without parents yet?
No.
Yeah. That's always an eye opener the first time.
Babies just chilling outside alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a baby in a carriage like next to a hookah bar, just
Yeah. A little baby hookah.
I think it helps that that people are just very trusting of each other here. So it's very much a culture of like love thy neighbor. So as long as you respect others, they tend to respect you, and that's really encapsulated the entire city. I think the only thing I would worry about is leaving a bike unlocked, honestly. Besides that, besides that, like anything else, I'm really not worried about any harm coming
going out at night and these things. You're in your internship, you're here. A big question is, and what we see a lot right now is for the future of the Danish economy, how can Denmark attract and retain global talents? And you know, you guys are human beings, but also referred to as talent in the business industry. but what would it take for you to seriously consider moving here and working here?
I could take this if you want.
Yeah, you can start.
So
yeah,
the reason I would take is because since I just graduated, I'm actually looking for where my next home is going to be.
Yeah, so this is a real concern.
Yeah, so in about a month and a half from now, I'll be going back to Boston, grabbing my things from school, and the rest of my life isn't planned from there. So I'm currently in the process of applying to different jobs. And before I got here, I was actually offered a 6-month internship. I was just so worried about what my experience would be here because I hadn't really heard anything about Copenhagen. So I chopped it to 3 months, and now that I've been here for a month and a half already, I'm highly considering staying.
Okay.
Whether it's with Reshape or another company, I've started to reach out to some MIT connections at Danish companies and considered actually staying here long term. So,
what do you think could move the needle? You know, what are some things you're considering? I guess
the biggest thing is not only the work culture, which I'm not too worried about after experience Reshape, but it's also being able to sustain myself here as someone who doesn't have citizenship here.
Right.
So, you know, right now I'm still covered by MIT in some ways, such as healthcare and things like that. So if I were able to get a high enough salary just to cover those basic living needs, then I'd highly consider moving here for a couple of years.
Yeah, I think the tough thing is, like, since we're not citizens, we don't really reap, like, all the benefits that other people have. And then another thing that I was thinking about was, like, integrating into, like, the social culture.
Okay.
So we actually, like, had, like, an innovation tour a couple weeks back where people from the Danish industry gave us, like, a bike tour, and then we also went on go boats. And we had a conversation with Katrina, who is one of the employees there, and we were talking about this question exactly, and she said that one of the main things that people are not necessarily put off by, but like what ends up being a big factor, is that they can't integrate into the Danish culture because it's very tight-knit community already. So people here, it seems like they grow up and like live in the same place like their whole lives, and so, you know, they're still friends with people that they went to elementary school with, and so those ties are very strong. And then also with the idea of Danish people being hard to small talk with, that like makes it even harder. Mm-hmm. Or like the language barrier, like obviously like everyone speaks English, but you know, with language there comes different humors and different personalities. So I think that's something that could be a big factor. I mean, being here as like going into it with like this idea of like, oh, I'm here for the short term, I kind of just feel like someone looking in on it, and I'm not thinking about like, oh, like I should try to like actually integrate for the long term. So I think that's why it's been such a great time for me, because I mean, like, it's okay that I'm insulated, like I'm just here for this like small like
the honeymoon kind of
experience. Just to explore.
Were you given any integration, I don't know, like tips or training or anything like that?
job.
Integration, really. Not really.
No.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe learning more about that would be interesting. Also, because I think in the U.S., since people move around for work a lot, like from college, like depending
yeah.
on where you
yeah.
where your next job is, you'd move.
Yeah.
Like people meet people at work, and then like kind of hang out with them a lot. I think I don't know if it's because I'm a lot younger, but I don't think people at 3Shape or on my floor at least really hang out outside of work. As an employee working in Denmark who's not Danish, that might be harder. It might make it harder to like find people like to hang
yeah.
out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that building up a social network and being able to create that life is really important for you guys in terms of general happiness, right?
Yeah.
I'm mindful of our time, and I think we can wrap up the podcast today with one final question. And we do this with all of our guests, and we ask them, what do you think you could teach Denmark? What do you think Denmark can offer the rest of the world?
How to dance like no one's watching.
I could say the States, but I wanted to keep it to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like kind of funny, but I think at a lot of like the bars and clubs we've been to, us and like the Misty people have been the most like, we dance like fools pretty much. And the Danes are like, you know, doing their thing, but we're like, you know, outrageously moving around. So I don't know if that's something Denmark would like to learn, but we can teach that.
How to dance like you mean it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Never heard that one. That's a good one. What do you think you could take back from Denmark to the States or to the campus and think, oh, this would be cool to, I wish we had that there?
I guess, for that directly, I lived in the Collegium at Egmont for about a month. And, you know, it's known for being a very social and kind of party Collegium, but they were still very organized about keeping things, you know, clean and tidy. Everyone would wash their own dishes, clean up after themselves. Back in the States, I was living at a fraternity, which is also known for similar culture, except for the cleaning up after yourself part. So I think there's just a level of respect here that even young people have with each other that, you know, they clean up after themselves and they, you know, use the facilities that are given to them respectfully, whereas you know, in the U.S., I feel like as students, a lot of times students just kind of leave a trail of mess. I think that's something we can learn from them.
Yeah, it's freedom with responsibility is a key core also of the educational from a young age, that we're going to give you this freedom and we expect you to be responsible with it.
That's a good point.
I think also work-life balance, like I don't know if I can't bring this to an entire company in the U.S., but I think it's a system that really works, that work time is work time, but outside of that, like, it's like living time. And I think that divide is something I would want to keep up in my own life.
Not just recovering from work and then going back.
Exactly. And like, no, even my dad, when he was working at a company, after work, even like, he would check his emails and like kind of be in the work mode. And I don't think that's a thing here. I think when you're at work, it's work mode, but outside of that, it's like life mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That'd be
yeah.
something
I'd
bring back.
Yeah, I think I definitely want to bring back Hygge with me. Like just like dedicating time to just like sitting down with like a cup of tea, like just looking outside, enjoying the outdoors,
yeah.
or just doing like a picnic with friends, like just like dedicating time to spending some nice memories with the people
yeah.
around me. Because I feel like back at MIT, the semester, you know, everyone gets like completely wound up in
yeah.
schoolwork or whatever other extracurriculars they're doing. And so people don't devote time to themselves or to spending time with people like outside the context of schoolwork.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, you know, like every day, just like
make it a
yeah,
part of your day.
Yeah, make it a cozy day.
Yeah.
So
I think also appreciation of like little things. I think because the weather here is also super bipolar, just like sunshine.
You haven't seen nothing yet.
People, yeah, I guess not. But
yeah.
people have such a respect and like appreciation just for like the sun and like nice weather.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Like Danes are happy with nice weather and a beer. Like that's all you need.
Yeah.
Like to be happy here. And I think that would be cool for
right.
me to have in, throughout my life. Just like
simplify it.
Yeah, appreciate
yeah.
the simple things.
I'd say so. We haven't thought of or we haven't brought up anything that we could bring to Denmark. It's kind
well,
of hard.
Dancing.
It is hard to think of something because this country seems to be working so well and so happy.
Yeah.
But because of that culture, I feel like, as we mentioned earlier, they're getting a bit comfortable. And something that I've noticed is like young people aren't really talking about political issues. And no matter how happy your country is, you still are going to have political issues. I think something that the U.S. does really well is our young people, we come together, we're having rallies and things all the time, just pushing for more and more progress.
Especially now.
Especially
state,
now,
like,
yeah. We're not, in a great state either,
yeah.
But I think something Denmark could do is just keep pushing until, you know, that you're never going to be a perfect country, but have young people keep progressing.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a fantastic way to leave it today. Mahira, Mickey. Malik.
Well done.
Ed. Ed. Yeah. Your name starts with an E. That's good. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
Thank you
for having us. This is great.
Yeah. And hopefully we can catch up again, whether we do it in person or we'll call you guys in the States and see how it's going.
Yeah.
Keep tabs. But thanks again.
Thank
and to our audience, download iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, share, anything to make us happy. And to help our podcast continue to grow. Until next week, see you on the GDP.
Are you getting the most out of your time in Denmark? Pick up your printed copy of the English language newspaper Copenhagen Post today to access relevant news and event information guaranteed to enhance your working and family life.